Let us turn our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 6 again. And our subject this morning is the certainties and uncertainties of life. And we will be looking at verses 10 to 12. That which had been is named already, and it is known that it is man, neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? David in Psalm 8 verse 4, wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, what is man? In part, he is but earthly, as Adam was when he came fresh from his Maker's hand. Solomon tells us in the 10th verse, which I have just read, that which have been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Whoever has lived, and however wise and intelligent and good and great he may be, or even she may be, he has been only man. Sum it up, add all together, the beauties of his body, the intelligence of his mind, the skill of his hands, even the virtues of his spirit, of his heart. And what is he? But man. And man is but, we are told in Scripture, vapor, which appeareth for a little while and then vanish away. James 4 verse 14. He is as thin and airy and unsubstantial as his own breath. Is that not true? We appear for a little while and just one tiny, small little virus, I suppose we can say that, and we are gone. One tiny little mosquito that sometimes we cannot even see flying around and carried with it the dengue virus, and if you got it, there you go. I have, and I'm sure you have seen. I have friends back in Singapore during the pandemic, the dengue fever, and he's gone. Young, strong. He comes and he goes. And he is here for a very brief moment, and for he begins to be before he closes his being, so far as this world is concerned. As man is as light as vanity itself, Solomon therefore counsel us, and in fact I would say warn us, that it is untenable and vain for man, as he says in verse 10, to dispute with God, to be dissatisfied with God. It is useless, he is saying in verse 10. God has already determined all that exists. And so it is vain, it is foolishness for man to be contenting, dissatisfied, bitter against God or with God. Is it not true that it is always unwise to contend with God, who is our Creator, with the one who is mightier than us? And it is not wise even in our human level. Will you want to fight with someone who is stronger than you? It's madness, isn't it? To fight with someone who is stronger, mightier than you. And what about God, who is the Creator and we are the creatures? But when that disparity is so great as between man and God, we are just creature of an hour And the Almighty, invincible God, you see at once, isn't it? You see at once. Do you not perceive it? What foolishness it is even to think of fighting with God. He or she is indeed mad who would then contend with his Maker, raising his or her fist in defiance. I'm not satisfied with God. Why did God do this to me? Why? There is no hope, isn't it? There is no hope for such contention, such striving against God. And yet how stubborn we are. We continue to contend with God. We continue to challenge God. We continue to resist and not willing to submit and to humble ourselves to Him. And we question God, the Creator. We question why God need to or did this or fulfill His will in our lives, in the lives of our family members. Why He decided to do this to us, to me, to my family members, to my friends. No, brethren, we cannot contend with our Maker. Are we wiser than He? Do we understand providence better than He does? Can we sit in judgment upon God? Do we dare think of denouncing the great judge of all at our bar, when soon we have to stand before His bar? Let us only think of Him aright, and we shall say, I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because Thou didst it. And by the grace of God, we shall get even further than that, and be able to say with Job, the patriarch, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Who are we, as I said the last time? Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? As I said, we have a very high view of ourselves. Very high. And we have a very, very low view of God. And so we have this spirit in us, thinking that we are smarter, cleverer, intelligent, great. Are we not great? Look at our modern technologies. Look at our sciences. How much we have improved and increased. How we have overcome so many of these diseases. Oh, really? Really? What about the current one? Huh? What we often lack is the spirit of, as I said before, a spirit of complete submission and surrender of our heart and our will to our Creator God. And that is our problem. We are so proud people, you know, but we often think that, oh, I'm such a humble people. I'm so humble, you know. Actually, I'm a very humble person. And I can tell you, the person who opened his or her mouth to tell you he or she is humble, you know. We ought to feel how absurd it is that we who are but as tiny little worm should fight with the flame, for we can but burn ourselves by such foolishness. We cannot possibly carry on successful contention against the one who is so great, and don't forget, so gracious, so merciful, so wise, as the infinitely glorious God. If not of God's mercy, if not of God's suffering, when we challenge God and question Him, if He is not He not long suffering towards us or patient towards us. Think of it. Where will we be now? And so looking at our text, I'd like to speak to all of us, and particularly to those who have this very contending or contentious spirit in their hearts against God, and also to others who perhaps may be getting into such a state of affair, or such a state of mind rather, unless they are warned of the danger which they may be exposed. And so therefore take warning beforehand and learn from Solomon's words a lesson, that you may never set your heart in opposition to this great and mighty God, who is long-suffering towards you, who is patient with you, and giving you the opportunity to repent and to turn to Him before He do something to you that you will find it very, very painful, to teach you a lesson or to turn you to Him. Or He could, in His wisdom, just leave you alone and you will self-destruct. It's as simple as that. So the first thing is, from this, our first lesson, the certainties of life that we are certain, or that we know. In fact, we can change the title of this sermon. Actually, it is not mine. I drew some from the Prince of Preacher, and he calls this chapter here the known and the unknown of life. And so there are certainties of life that we know, or that we are certain. Who knoweth what is good for man in this life? In all the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow. We do know and we are certain of some things about our present life. We are not ignorant of the fact. And we know about it. And it should humble us in the presence of God. And the first thing is known, we know of is, and we are certain, it is very clear to every one of us, though we oftentimes sweep it under the carpet, that life is very short, very brief, as a vapor. See in the text that Solomon here is saying nothing about years of our life. Is it not true? In verse 12, all the years of his vain life. No, he says all the days of his vain life. He only counted by days. He looked at our earthly existence as of short duration, not by years, but by days. And so, my brethren, we live day by day, isn't it? And scarcely as much as that. Is it not true? We are at least taught by our Lord Jesus to pray yearly for our bread. No, give us this day our daily bread. Not yearly bread, not monthly bread. For our nourishment, for our physical need. Yet is a day more than you and I can be sure of. For who knoweth what even a day may bring forth? Says who? The same writer, Solomon the preacher, in Proverbs 27 verse 1. For who knoweth what even a day may bring forth? Jacob in his old age told the Pharaoh, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. The fact is, the older a man grows, the shorter his life seems to be. And it was because Jacob was so old. By the mercy of the Lord, he lived a long life. And he had seen so many days that he called them few and evil. The calculation about times are very striking here. For length seems to be or turn to shortness, well then, since my life is so short, so brief, like a vapor, so transitory as a creature, how dare I think or even consider to challenge God, to question Him who is the Creator, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. Our life, besides being very short, is also very uncertain, isn't it? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow. We do not know that we shall have even another day, which I used to say this before, and I know some people just don't like it, especially those of us who are Asian, Chinese. Tomorrow may not come. We don't like to hear this kind of thing. Tomorrow may not come. Why is this preacher always so pessimistic? Oh no, I'm not. It's a fact. Wake up! Especially the young one. Strong. Alert. It's only for all these old men. Old people. Yeah, sure. Tomorrow may not come for them. Tomorrow will surely come for me. Look at me. I'm so great. Full of energy. Really? Don't say too fast. Don't say too fast. Just think of it. I told you just now. And it's still ongoing. The virus? The virus? The Christian who walks aright with God remembers that all things are certain in the eternal purpose and law of God. This we are certain. And that all changes, whatever happens in our life, the events around us in the world, in the political scene and everything else, God has wisely ordained all this. And therefore, the uncertainty is of no difficulty with God because He has set it, predetermined it. Yet this truth shall make us live with much carefulness, live with much caution and care and tenderness and watchful, particularly for those of us who are Christian. Watch unto prayer. Why? Because if I may appear before my Maker, the Creator, before the clock strikes, let me set my heart in order. Let me set my house in order. But more importantly, let me set my heart in order. While there is still time for you, my dear friends, consider this very, very fundamental, important question of your life. Not so much of, oh, when I'm going to get married, who should I get married to? Should I go for this higher degree or whatever? All those are important and necessary as you go along in your life, especially our young people. But the most important question you have to set in order before you meet your Creator: do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Oh, many of us, we trifle with our soul. This is not important. Right now for me is to pursue all the things in this world. Knowledge, my degree, my whatever, so that I can become rich, so that I can get a good job and I can become famous, so that I can enjoy life, so that I can have this financial power to buy all the things that I want in this world, so that I can show off that I have the latest iPhone version, I don't know, 14, 15, 16, 20, whatever. Oh, you know, my phone is better. Why? Oh, my lens, you know, made in Germany. Since I may soon die and not live, since I may be even now trembling on the verge of the unseen world. Should I not prepare myself now? Oh, young people especially, do not pray that the Lord will take away this thought in your mind, thinking that I am young, therefore I'm sure going to outlive my mom, my dad, my foolishness. You never know what will happen to you next. And may I add very pointedly to you, you never know what will happen afterwards when you walk out of this church door. Can you? Can you tell me that you are very sure you know what is going to happen to you after you walk out of this door? This spirit of pride, conceitedness in us, need to be kept in check by the Spirit of God. And yet, my brethren, my life is not only short and uncertain, but while I have it, it is also unsubstantial. Many things that you and I gain, many things that you have achieved, I have achieved, we much care, we pay so much attention on all these things, isn't it? And it is good, don't get me wrong, as the Lord bless you with knowledge, with the things for your enjoyment, as we are told by the preacher Solomon, it is a gift of God, enjoy it, bless His name, give thanks indeed, enjoy it, make full use of it, and use it for the glory of God, what God has blessed you, and for the blessing of your fellow believers and Christians. Yes, do it. But is it not true? After all that we have gained, and in Singapore many years ago, which I suppose is still ongoing, but right now in a different shade, we have these 5 C's that many young people in Singapore will pursue. Cash, credit card, condominium, car, country club, membership. I went through that. And at the end, so what? I don't know, now maybe they have 6 C's right now. All this, as I say, don't get me wrong. Please, if the Lord has blessed you with that knowledge, you want to take a PhD and whatever, D even, go ahead. Go ahead and give thanks to God. But remember, to whom much is given, much is required. Honor comes with responsibility. And you have to answer before God for what God has blessed you. See that? You want the glamour? Glamour? Wow. And then you show your name card. Wow. This master. What? Wow. Very good. Praise the Lord for blessing you with such mind. But remember, you have to stand before Him to give an account. What have you used? All this knowledge that you have, all this intelligence, all your, you know, mathematical mind and all that, did you use it for the glory of God? Did you use it for the blessing of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in the church? You have to give an account. I have to give an account for whatever God has blessed us. Someone asked this rich man, I'm sure you know his name, by the name of Warren Buffett, a very rich billionaire, or billionaire. And he was asked by a journalist, are you satisfied with your wealth, sir? And he replied, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more, I will be satisfied. Just a little bit more. Again, have you not heard the scholars who have won many degrees and stood at the head of their profession, and they declare that after all the pursuit, after all that they have achieved, all the knowledge that they so desire to have, and then they conclude what? I know so little. You see, the more they know, the more they realize that actually, I do not know. There's so much more that I need to know. And so in this acquiring of knowledge, there was so much vexation of spirit, and Solomon said, much study is a weariness of the flesh. Now look, I know that there are people who quote this, especially the student, and tell their parents, I don't need to study, because Solomon said this, much study is a weariness of the flesh. Therefore, the Bible is teaching me, no need to study, no need to go and educate myself and get some training and whatever, no need. Please, young people, this is not the meaning. This is not the correct translation or interpretation of this text. And there are others who say, you know, oh, we need not study the Bible. Why? Study, much study. Study of, did he say study of the Bible is a weariness of the flesh? No, he did not say that. He said study. And so go and check, what does this study? Study of what? There is nothing truly substantial or meaningful apart from God. Go and acquire all the degrees and the knowledge and whatever for yourself, but always link it back to God in all your study, in all your pursuit and inquiring all this knowledge. What is it for? Go for this degree, that degree or whatever. Go for this knowledge and whatever. What for? For a Christian, you must always think biblically. What for? Why is God giving me such a gift that I can study and achieve this degree or whatever program? Why? It's not for you so that you can show off, you know. It's not that because after that I can, you know, through my education, through my qualification, I'm going to make tons of money as a doctor, lawyer, what have you. And then, oh, so you become rich, and then? Is that the purpose that God gave you that gift? That mind? You know, at the end of the day, indeed, as Solomon is correct, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to tell us, it's all meaningless, unsubstantiable, or unsubstantial rather, without God. All this that you pursue, with no God in mind, at the end of the day, it is all, if you do not have Christ as your Savior, as your God, as your Heavenly Father, as your Redeemer, it is all meaningless. All that you are going to achieve, all that you have, for Psalm 39, verse 5 tells us, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Now, brethren, see that our lives in this sin-cursed world, knowing that we are living in so much of uncertainty, that our lives at the best are so unsubstantial, and our breath in God is in God's hand. Therefore, those of us who are in Christ, it is better for us to surrender, submit our entire life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be used for His service, that we may be used for His glory, that we will live our lives with all that God has blessed us with, knowledge, material or whatever, and all the spiritual gifts, that we may spend it for His glory, for the blessing of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. For what is the chief end of man? And if by grace we live in Him and with Him and through Him and to Him, then it will be a real life. Life in the Lord Jesus Christ will be meaningful, purposeful, fulfilling and real. Then in all your learning, for the younger ones in your studies and those who are working, then you will find meaning in your work and purpose for what you are doing. And it is not just merely I work because I need to support myself, feed my family, feed my wife. With Christ as your Savior, it goes beyond that. Not like people in the world go through the daily grind and work and toil. No, when you have Christ in your heart as your Savior, study, work, whatever, times of sickness, times of trouble, times of joy will have a total different meaning for you as a believer. And the next one, I must close. And that is, there are things in life, the best of what God has in store for us is not made known to us. There are things that we are certain that it will happen, but there are things, particularly those blessings from the Lord, and God in His infinite wisdom has hold back that from us. The best for us in life is not known to us, is not made known to us. We certainly do not know as to the things temporal, what is best for us in this life, neither do we know even in higher matters, in spiritual experience, what is good for man in this life. We do not know. It is not revealed to us immediately, I suppose. For example, we ask the question, is it better for me to be wealthy or poor? What would be the answer? Of course. Naturally, in our nature, of course, money. I want wealth so that I can buy everything that my eyes feast on. Latest iPhone, what have you, car. I want the best. I have the money. But is it really, really good for you and me to have that wealth? The Bible, as we see in the scripture, that having such wealth is such a solemn responsibility. And it is a burden, isn't it? And Solomon has already said, or rather, should I say, the Apostle Paul has already said that the love of money, by the way, is not money itself, the love of money has brought much sorrow and pain and misery, isn't it? And it is true. For those of us who are older, we have seen it. There are some people who just cannot manage their wealth. You give them some more money, and my mother used to say that to me. Of course, this is a Chinese superstition. Oh, you know, you look at your hand. You see all this gap. No wonder you are so poor. All the money drops through the hole. It's nonsense. Because you are not controlling yourself and not managing the money that God has blessed you with. Poor stewardship. But then there are people who cannot manage power. You give them some authority and it goes up to their head. And there are some people who just cannot manage money. And that is why, is it really that God is being bad to you for not giving you or making you wealthy or blessing you with wealth? You think of it. It is actually really for your good, because God knows your heart. God knows. And therefore, my friends, let us, like what someone in Proverbs 30 verse 8 says, or pray, give me neither poverty nor riches. It seems that the person, but yet at the same time, do not be mistaken, that therefore, I better be poor. Oh, poverty has its pain and suffering. Seriously. So we are not very clear about this. But let each one of us seek the Lord's view, to understand God's will for our life. If God should bless us with wealth, then pray that the Lord will help you to use it for His glory. if God should in his infinite wisdom put you through a life of poverty in that sense that you are not as rich as the other person that God has blessed, same. Use whatever God has given you in your little or not much, also for the glory of God. And then of course concerning, this is a very, very important question that many of us are afflicted. Is it better that the Lord will bless me with good health or permit me to go through sickness, prolonged sickness, day in, day out, I have to go to the hospital, day in, day out, I have to go for this medical check, day in, day out, I have to take 10, 15, 20 over medicine, pills, or is it better that I pray, oh Lord, give me good health? And yet, this to answer to this question again, let us submit to the will of God. Why? Because God knows better. There are people, and we must be very honest and frank with it, there are people who are in their good health and it has done them a lot of evil. Because they become proud. That's one reason. They are healthy. You mean this virus can hit me? Look at me. Every day I exercise and I am this, that. They become proud. So you see that good health, if God would bless you with good health, it may turn you to become a very proud person. Because you are overconfident and you don't see a need of God. Let's put it this way. If you are not sick, will you want to see a doctor? If I tell you, go and see a doctor, huh? Are you mad? Vishamok, can you not see that I'm standing and jumping high and I'm so strong? And the same thing, if you are not sick or you are weak, it is only in your weakness, isn't it, that you humble yourself. Oh Lord, have mercy. I just cannot go through this day without your help. Is it not true? You see, both is a blessing. But we in our sinful state will see sickness is bad, evil, wicked. I want health. But no, let us learn to submit to God. Because in our weakness, in our time of low, laying down long period on the bed, it do us much good. Much good than be in good health. Because when you're in good health, go party and go this, no time for church. Because I'm in good health. Good health means I can go this, do that. You know. It is when God put you on that bed and then you start to look up. And then you start to ponder over life. Why? Why am I right now in this way? Why did God allow me right now? So weak. I can't even walk to the toilet. I need help. Oh, that's a blessing from the Lord. Because it draws you closer to God, you see. Oh, so dear friends, I can go on for some more, but I just want to end with this. And therefore, make the best of all that God has blessed you. Much or little. And be thankful. And be grateful. And remember the giver. And not just focus on the gift. Remember the giver. Remember the source, as what we Chinese have this saying. Yin sui shi yan. You must remember the source. And so I end with this poem by Horatius Bonner. Thy way, not mine, O Lord. Thy way, not mine, O Lord, however dark it be, lead me by thy own hand, choose out the path for me. Smooth let it be or rough, it will be still the best. Winding or straight, it leads right onward to thy rest. I dare not choose my Lord, I would not if I might. Choose thou for me, my God, so shall I walk aright. Take thou my cup, and eat with joy or sorrow filled, as best to thee may seem. Choose thou my good and ill. Choose, Lord, for me, my friends, my sickness or my health. Choose thou my cares for me, my poverty or wealth. Not mine the choice, in things both great and small. Be thou my guide, my strength, my wisdom, and my all.